As most of you know, I have an interest in the natural world that seems to occupy much of my time and thinking. One of the things that I find so attractive about studying nature is that along with so many other Christians, they have discovered that when you look and study the creation around us, they discover that they are seeing something of God. Their spirits are lifted, their hearts are lightened, and their minds are instructed by the creation around them. And indeed, creation reveals, in a somewhat general way, of course, the complexities and the greatness of our Lord. One of the things that I find most intriguing is the way that rock becomes soil. And you might not think that's very interesting, but if you think about it, soil is crucial to how we live. In fact, we could not live without fertile, good soil. And it's interesting how the time, the years, the elements, weather, water, and the plant life, trees, moss, shrubs, flowers, all combine to break down huge rocks into small mineral particles. And also at the same time, breaking down biological components to make a rich loam to grow the things we need and to feed the animals that are on the earth. A God that works in this way seems to be a mighty God indeed. And it's instructive for us today to keep in mind how God has worked in creation, because the same principle applies in God's work in Jesus Christ. And the same principle will apply, as we shall see later, in God's work in us. Today's scripture reading, at least the first part anyway, finds Jesus returning back to his hometown after a preaching tour that took him to Jerusalem and points in between. The word was out. He was doing great things. People were excited. I don't know whether Jesus' return to Nazareth was something that was planned for or something that just happened. We don't hear about that. Either way, it seems to have been a big deal. People knew who Jesus was, both by his having been raised with them, lived among them, but also by his reputation, by his great deeds, and by what was said of him. I do not know, and we do not see too much of what Jesus feels amidst the response of the hometown crowd. They certainly put up a hurdle, and Jesus is reported to have been, what, grim, you know, disheartened or saddened for them. And he could do no great works. But he decided to do a couple of things. He healed a couple, and he went about the area preaching in other villages around Nazareth. I don't know about you, but I think that in this day and age, there are a lot of people who regard the Christian message and Christians and the church the same way that the people in Jesus' hometown regarded him. They wanted to be amazed, but they couldn't accept that God would come to them in such a familiar form. And they were not willing to give up their assumptions, their preconceived ideas of who Jesus was in order to receive what God was giving them. That's the positive outlook. The negative outlook is this: that having heard what Jesus was doing, and having grown up with Jesus and have him grown up in the community, they just didn't care what God was doing. We see the same kind of responses in our world. People want something big to happen, but they're not willing to accept the one who will give the gift. Or they simply don't care. They simply do not care enough to pay attention. And you know what this is like. Some of you have grandchildren and children that you wish were in church more regularly, that you wish knew that to follow Jesus was to be a Christian, and to be a Christian was to follow Jesus. And your attempts to invite your family and your children and grandchildren to come and learn and experience what you know to be great falls upon deaf ears. Or maybe some of you have looked at a friend or a family member and said, you know, I think that I'd like to invite them to come to church with me. And you're ready to do everything you can to make it happen, and they don't want to accept. They will not accept. Or in a discussion with people around you, or at work, or in your neighborhood, you hear somebody say about the church, oh, it's nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. And you're kind of, all of a sudden, don't quite know what to say, because you know that really isn't the point. So we know something of what Jesus felt. To be rejected, to be misunderstood, to be ignored, to be seen as irrelevant. But let's look at Jesus' response. Maybe something huge, something great, something fantastic didn't happen in the hometown church in Nazareth. Maybe they didn't grow in membership 500% and take in X number of new members. But the work of God still went on. The work of God still went on. Jesus recognized the situation for what it was and chose to take a different tack. And he went into the villages around, and he preached the gospel and healed those who would hear. And not only that, he gathered up his disciples and sent them out. Jesus didn't stop doing God's work because the people of his hometown didn't accept what he had to say. He kept at it. And if you think about it, that's what God does. God keeps at it. God keeps at it when we think about the natural world, how over time the rain falls, the freezes come, the rocks break down, they rise to the surface, the trees change their leaves
every year and drop their leaves into the forest floor, and they break down and they become biological material for the rest of the world to grow upon. It's amazing, but it takes time. It takes persistence, and it takes focus. God has so focused creation on life that it happens continually, regardless of what we think, say, or do about it. And the same is true for you and I in terms of salvation, in terms of reaching out to the world and transforming the world, in terms of our own life. God is at work no matter what the response of the world around us is, and we know that. We know that God is at work. So our challenge is to do as Jesus has done. And in the rejection that we experience, we do not fall into the anxiety and the frustration and the oh, woe is me that comes from being rejected. And rather we turn and see in the obstacle an opportunity to go another way, to do a new thing, to keep on working. For us to do that, we probably need to recognize a couple of things. One, that most of us are addicted to worry and anxiety. The kinds of things that wake you up at 3 o'clock in the morning, the kinds of things that keep you from doing something you need or want to do. This is not something we can be faulted for simply because that's the kind of world this is. And we cannot remove ourselves so much from the world that we do not worry. But Jesus had some specific things to say about worry and told us to cast our lot with God, that God would take care of us, so don't worry. Well, that's easier said than done. But in recognizing that we worry about our children, our grandchildren, we worry about our church and the Christian faith. We worry about the world and its ability to continue amidst environmental destruction, continued war and violence. We worry because we see things that are frightening. But when we do that, that's the time that we're called, like Jesus, to go and do something about it. It might not be a magnificent step. It might not be what we would want in our dreams, but it is a small step that God invites us to take. And that's really the good news in this passage. That we are going to experience obstacles in our ministry as a people together, in our ministry to others as a person, in our ministry as the church. People will respond in different ways. Much of the time, they will laugh at us and reject us. A great deal of the time, they will ignore us. But to that, we have a choice. We can fall into despondency and worry and do nothing of any positive value, or we can choose to make a small step in the right direction with God. And that, after all, is what it means to live with Jesus, to walk in Christ. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in a flash and a bang. It happens in every moment we choose to follow the path God has given us. Acts of love, acts of random kindness, acts of forgiveness, acts of hospitality, acts of generosity, acts of listening ears, acts of just love and comfort for the suffering. Things that you all know how to do because you've done them so often before. And I dare say that, like the created order around us, the hard hearts of those who reject or ignore us will someday be broken down into the fertile soil of life. God is working at it. And because God is working at it, we can too. Let us pray.